And we see that they spent half of their day reading and then confessing and worship. And I think you see that they have a real appreciation of the Word of God, but they also have an appreciation of what sin is. And you see that half their day, or a quarter of their day, is spent confessing and worshiping. And so often we sin, we confess. It takes less than a minute sometimes. And their confession is good, but sometimes it's good to just realize what sin is to God. And that it's not just something you can do it, you confess it, and you move on. That you need to realize that sin is horrible, that God hates sin. And it's just to have an appreciation of it. They stood for a quarter of their day confessing. And I'm not saying that we should spend a quarter of our day confessing, but just realize what sin is and how it has affected our relationship with God and what sin did and what the Lord Jesus had to do to pay for our sin. It's a very serious thing, and they realized that. They realized who they were, they realized who God is, and they realized what sin is. And it's very important that we understand what sin is and that it needs to be confessed. And we can't just confess nonchalantly. We need to realize how bad sin is. Sometimes we become numb to certain sins that we get used to doing. Sometimes we get accustomed to. There are certain things that I might fall into easily, and there might be things that you fall into easily. And we get used to it, and then after a while, we don't feel as bad when it happens. But we need to realize that sin is terrible, and that the Lord Jesus had to come and die on the cross and be judged and pay the penalty for my sin.
In connection with what we just had, they stood up in their place and read the book of the law, the realization brought by reading Romans 13, verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's really where we find out who we are and what sin is. And then the last part, the most important is the first part, but and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof.
I'm just going to encourage you when you go back home just somehow to contemplate into one psalm to really understand fully what Jesse was trying to present us with. And that is Psalm 51. That sometimes confession is not something I utter and that's it. The one who sinned and fell into something has to come into God's final assessment. How horrible it was sinning. So if you don't mind, when you go back home, so that we will not delay the portion before us, please each one of you read Psalm 51 and recognize sin affected a lot of things between David and the Lord. And if I can take hold of it, it might put some sense in me to set aside myself unto God and be separate from things that might affect my relationship with Him.
Okay, I just give sort of a summary of what I got from this section. If I really want revival in my life, and if we want to see revival amongst us, there's three elements that I get out of it. There's one, the standard of the Word of God, and secondly, confessing to see how far away I am from this standard, and then separation, and that separation is from my sin, separation from the world, as we have seen, and it might even mean separating from our peers that come to meeting at times that's necessary. But that's it, just separation, and whatever that word entails, we have gotten into it, and there's a lot more that could be said on it.
But Joel, of those three things, the Word of God, then if number two, let's put separation, and then number three, confession. We must separate before we confess. That is a needful character is that for our confession to be before the Lord is to be separated first from the sin that has beset us.
So we can all come to the conclusion and move on that separation is not something negative. It brings me from something that is has a negative character, but it brings me into God Himself. We are separated unto Him. And that's a wonderful, profound truth that should put joy in my own soul. That's not only the negative part of it, but now I am in the very presence of the blessed God, enjoying a sweet fellowship with Him. And I'm wondering if some could help me now, and not only with the thought of separation, but we have said a few times, we confess and there is repentance, which we're going to discuss. And I'm wondering if we can get some help of really what is repentance all about. Because one learns as a young man every time certain things are uttered, but you wonder how many do understand what's the process of repenting.
Just if I could give a definition for the word that might just help us a little bit. It's really simple. It means changing direction. So I'll be walking north, I'll stop, turn around, and walk south. That is what actually the word repentance means. Changing direction. I'm going this way, I stop, turn around, and go the opposite direction.
Uncle Emil reminded us earlier that the repentance is for the believer. You have read about Job. I wonder if I can give another verse just to support the truth of it. It's not only for unbeliever, but it's definitely for the saints of God. And that has to be in the whole assembly. And when you go to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 6, verse 5, He was talking to the assembly of Ephesus, and that's the exhortation from the Lord Himself. And it says, remember therefore whence thou art fallen, and repent, and repent, and do the first works. But if not, I am coming to thee, and I will remove thy lamp out of its place, except thou shalt repent.